Shop the President's Day sale at Grand Appliance for unbeatable appliance deals and a hassle-free buying experience that includes fast delivery, expert installation, and personalized service from start to finish. Save now on top brands like LG with top-load washers starting at $5.99 and counter-depth max French door refrigerators starting at $18.99. Learn more at grandappliance.com or one of Grand's local showrooms in Indianapolis and Lafayette. That's Grand Appliance, appliance experts since 1930.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I guess it didn't matter that Thursday's game was on ABC and, or no, excuse me, I got that wrong. Saturday's game was on ABC and last night's game was on ESPN. That is a massive number for hockey to pull. 9.3 million people. Wow, tremendous. What a week and a half it's been for the NHL and its star players and Team Canada and Team USA. Nothing against Team Finland and Team Sweden. Anyway, we're shifting gears, focusing on the NFL offseason here and the Bills' way forward, free agency, the draft in particular. And to help us do that, joining us right now on the West Hur Hotline is Mike Renner from CBS Sports, one of their NFL and draft analysts. Mike, nice to talk to you again. How are things going?
Going great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Wonderful. Did you watch hockey last night?
I did not. I'm too deep in the football game. I was watching prospects last night.
I totally understand. So this draft, like kind of an overall here, and then we can get maybe into some more specifics and Bill's needs and ideas for them. But I get the sense that where the Bills are in this draft, with 2 second-round picks and the 30th pick, while you, of course, would like to be up higher, maybe they're in kind of a sweet plateau area in this draft. What do you think?
I think there is a lot of talent going into day two, and especially at like valuable positions. I think this year, uniquely, there's a lot of offensive tackles that are going to come off the board, or offensive linemen that are going to come off the board in the second round, like tackles that could be guard converts. And there's a lot of defensive ends as well that, you know, I think at least a third of the first round is going to end up being defensive ends. So like, there's a lot of talent rushing the passer in this draft class, defensive tackle talent as well. So the trenches, I think into day two, there's definitely a lot of guys, and I do think this class, it may not have top heavy, you know, it may not have elite superstars after, you know, a couple guys, but there definitely is depth.
Yeah, and that's music to a lot of Bills fans' ears here, because Mike, I mean, obviously we all watched the Super Bowl, we all watched the AFC Championship game, and saw the disparity between what the Bills were, or really were not able to do to slow down the Chiefs for yet another playoff loss at the hands of Mahomes and Reed, and then you see the Eagles just dismantle all of that. They couldn't get their quick game going. Obviously, the pass rush had a big part in that. So a lot of fans here in Buffalo, me included, because I mostly go, well, Josh Allen's got the ball in his hands with 2 minutes to go. I like my chances. And it sort of lets the defense off the hook. Not that I expect the Bills to be able to do what the Eagles have done year over year here in one off season, but hearing that it's rich on the defensive line is a very, very good thing, I think, for this Bills team. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. Now, unfortunately, I think the other two positions that are probably the best positions in the draft, running back and tight end, are like pretty much off limits for the Bills. So they're not going to be taking advantage of either of those. But definitely defensive line, I wouldn't, you know, after how the postseason went, after what we saw with the Eagles, would not surprise me if those, you know, first, second rounders could all be defensive linemen.
And what kind of players do you think the Bills should be looking for? Obviously, edge guys are edge guys, right? Guys that can get around the edge and get to the quarterback in a hurry. Defensive tackle-wise, the Bills have kind of maybe set. I mean, Ed Oliver certainly is their number one as far as a penetrating up-the-field guy. They drafted Dwayne Carter last year in the third round, and he's a similar athletic profile. What I think maybe they should be looking for, tell me if you agree or disagree, is like the big guy to, you know, either replace or certainly supplement at the very least Daquan Jones.
Yeah, I do think that they're, you know, you watch them play run defense, it's a very uphill based scheme. They like to get in the backfield. They're not sitting on blocks, but it's also because they don't really have the sort of personnel to do so. So I do think that just getting some longer, bigger 3-4 defensive end types that can also play the nose tackle. And this class is chock full of them. This class is the one to, if you want to draft a guy just for his ability in run defense, there's a bunch of guys, especially that are going to be coming off the board in the second and third round. So if that's what they want to address, and I do think it is, right? I do think that you need some guys that are just at least reliable in that regard. Then at the end of the day, I think that's where you're going to end up targeting.
Yeah. Who? I mean, among the group that could be available at 30 or even into the second round, Kenneth Grant is a name from Michigan, sort of outshined by his more decorated teammate, Mason Graham, different type of player. Grant is a guy that certainly comes to mind. Thoughts on him and maybe some other guys if you're that far into your study on these guys?
Yeah, I think that's like a pipe dream for 30. I think he'll unfortunately be off the board before that, but that's like the type of guy. But into the second round, you have guys like Alfred Collins out of Texas. Into the third round, you got guys like Jamari Caldwell out of Oregon that are all kind of fitting that mold, among other names. There's just a lot of guys in this defensive tackle class specifically that can really get after the run. Tyleek Williams from Ohio State, I think, fits that bill in the second round as well. So it's a good class if you need run defenders. There's just a lot of them.
Another need the Bills, I think, will have here with all this focus on the defensive line, certainly, and it's not surprising, but number two corner across from Christian Benford. I mean, we're sort of wondering when he's going to get his contract extension this offseason or if he'll get one this offseason, because he certainly has earned it as the player he's become here after being a sixth-round pick 3 years ago, Mike. But opposite him, Rasul Douglas is getting older, and I thought he was kind of a weak link this past season anyway after arriving here midseason last year and really smashing, and he's a free agent. And so I wonder, you know, certainly you can go shopping for maybe that caliber of replacement in free agency. I saw Dane Jackson, a former Bill who just spent 1 year in Carolina, got released already today, and maybe that's an idea. But I'm wondering about the draft and a corner with maybe one of those second-round picks, if not their first-round pick.
Yeah, I think second-round in this corner class makes more sense. After kind of the real top group, which is, you know, Will Johnson from Michigan, Travis Hunter from Colorado, and then Jade Barron from Texas. That's like your three guys that I'd really only feel comfortable drafting in the first round. Everyone else either has like a major injury, like Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame or Savone Revel from ECU, or their tape's just such that it's good tape. They don't have great traits. Guys like Trey Amos fit that bill. Guys like Azaria Thomas from Florida State fit that bill, where like they just aren't going to be low 4.4, high 4.3 guys that you usually want to draft in the first round, but they still look like they're good football players. So I think all those guys will be day two guys. I think that's where, if you're going to address corner, just in this class in particular, it makes more sense in the second round.
I wonder, you know, the Bills are still feeling burned by missing on Kyer Elam, who was always a curious pick a few years ago to a lot of us here, Mike, because the Bills have mostly played zone with Sean McDermott here as their coach. And Elam came out of Florida, and the book on him was that he was a much better man player and just has not been able to catch up to really be a scheme fit here. And now we're into a point where I think off of this AFC title game loss that I mentioned and seeing what the Eagles did to Kansas City, and McDermott's even acting in accord with this with some of his offseason coaching staff hires. There's an assistant from New England whose name is escaping me right this moment, who's more of a man cover type guy. And I wonder if the Bills are going to be trying to find someone opposite Benford who can play a little bit more man than they are used to playing in Buffalo.
That'd be interesting because, I mean, obviously, I 100% agree on that Elam assessment. I could not believe he went to the Bills. I remember saying, I think pre-draft, I was like, well, he's not a good fit for the Bills. McDuffie's a good fit for the Bills. So, like, you know, at that point in draft, that was kind of where they were both slotted to go. And then when they picked him, I was like, well, we'll see. Maybe they'll right. change their stripes there. And obviously, we all know how that's unfortunately worked out. But I think in this draft, if you are going to go more man coverage, the guy I'd point to as a good second rounder is Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. That's all he did at Notre Dame. I mean, that's the whole book on him is that he's a man corner who's like a little undersized and has a hip injury that, you know, hip injury for cornerbacks is a pretty big deal.
Yep.
So that's the worry and why he's probably not going to go in the first round. But I remember that guy as a true freshman at Notre Dame was their best corner already. I love prospects that the moment they step on collegiate campuses, they're already, you know, high-end football players. Those are the guys I like to end up be high in the NFL draft because it speaks to just innate skill. So I think if you're going more man, that's the guy I'd point to as being a high-end man corner that could still be available in the second round.
Talking with Mike Renner, CBS Sports NFL and draft analyst here on WGR on the Western Hotline. Mike, we're 10, 15 minutes into this, and maybe from your experience being on the station over the last few draft cycles, you might be stunned that I haven't asked you about wide receivers yet. It's been kind of we've been like a factory of wide receiver content here in the off seasons for maybe this is the third year running now, you know, Get Josh Allen premium weapons. 3 years ago, I was go replace Stephon Diggs, like get a guy that can be in line to replace Stephon Diggs, and they end up not really drafting that receiver until they had already traded away Stephon Diggs. Not that Keon Coleman is exactly a Stephon Diggs replacement, but you get the idea. How do you feel about this receiver class?
I just think it's thin, unfortunately. The more I watch kind of the second tier of wide receivers, the more I'm just like, you know, kind of just guys. I'd be very hard pressed to see someone breaking out as like a day 2,000 yard receiver the way we saw like Ladd McConkey last year. It's thin. You'll probably see three come off the board only in the first round, and being Ted McMillan from Arizona, Luther Burden from Missouri, and then Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. After those three, Matthew Golden might sneak in, the wide receiver out of Texas, but there's just not guys that look like number one wide receivers the way we saw last year. Every other guy after that has some big flaw. They're either like don't have speed or they have size, or they don't have size but they have speed. Like there's just not a true, you know, guy I could see being a number one wide receiver, even if he's a project after that. So unfortunately, by the time the Bills are on the clock, the wide receiver class may be over in terms of just like real guys who could even play a role for the Bills with what they have in place already.
One guy who you comes to mind when you mention, you know, that they're lacking some trait, and in this case it would be size, is Tez Johnson from Oregon, who kind of caught my attention at the Senior Bowl.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Both on the field and also just talking about his process, but he's, what, 155 pounds? I mean, I see him listed at CBS at 165, and maybe that's generous. I want to ask you, like, a philosophical question about this, because we heard some of the same thing, not that these guys are the same level of prospect, but Xavier Worthy was a big draft crush for me last year throughout this thing. It was the guy I really wanted the Bills to draft, so you can imagine how I reacted when they traded the pick to Kansas City, and they picked him. And Johnson, but the knock on Worthy was he's small, he's not going to get off the line of scrimmage, that kind of thing. I wonder if in the NFL, as we're moving forward, whether or not it's that big a deal to be slight of build anymore. With the way the rules are put together, I just wonder. I mean, I know every guy's different, but Johnson is a guy that I'm curious about whether I can maybe get a guy that's getting dinged for something that isn't as important as it was even 5 or 10 years ago.
I do think where it does limit you to have a guy like that is the run game. If he's on the football field, he can't do the same things in the run game that, say, Keon Coleman can do, right? Right. You're not going to ask him to block a linebacker on a crack block. He gets, that's how Tank Dell, who was almost the same size as well, that's how he got hurt 2 years ago. So broke his leg blocking in the running game. So that's where it limits you. But I tend to agree. It's you worry about small guys that aren't elusive, that guys can get their hands on, then all of a sudden they're getting beat up. But Tez Johnson, you can't touch that guy. I mean, I saw at Senior Bowl, guys weren't even in press coverage getting their hands on him. So when that's the case, I don't think it's a big deal. So I think he's great. It's just how many slot receivers is the Bills going to stockpile, right? I feel like a lot of their guys, best position is the slot. They just don't have, like, outside wide receivers at this point. And in this class, there are some. They're not, like, electric outside of the guys I talked about off the top, but to me, he's very much going to be a redundant skill set if they were to draft him to, like, a Khalil Shakir. Like, they're just similar players at this point.
Yep, that gets me off of the Tez Johnson train just about, I'll tell you, Mike. Thank you for that. You mentioned at the outset here the Bills not expected to be in the running back market or the tight end market, and I agree, but the running back class here is getting a lot of love. How many do you think will actually go in the first round? So I feel like you can cut both ways. If there's a lot of guys, you might feel like you can wait and get a guy later. So I don't know. Would you put an over under on 2.5, more or less than that, as far as first round running backs go?
See, I could see 2. The only thing is that Ashton Gentry from Boise State's going in the first round. If I had to bet on a second one, it would be Amarion Hampton from North Carolina. It's such a good class. And all the teams drafting in the 20s at this point in time should be like your supposed sharp football teams that make smart football decisions that realize that you can get a James Cook in the late second, right? You can get high-end impact backs without a first-round pick. So I think you'll see those teams pass. I don't think you'll see one of those teams, even if running backs back in terms of evaluation and like what Saquon did last year and Derrick Henry and its value and whatever, I still think you'll see teams objectively look at his class and say, is Amarion Hampton a full round grade better than, say, Dylan Sampson from Tennessee, who you could probably have at pick 60? I don't think he is. So I think if I had to bet, I bet it's 1, but I could see as many as 3 going in the first round because, gosh, it's just a really good running back class. There's 3 backs that are probably that good in some people's eyes.
And the quarterbacks, you know, we know the names at the top, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, I guess Milroe, Jackson Dart coming along. I've seen a lot of talk today and really this week about the Louisville quarterback whose name is escaping me right now, but I think he played 7 years of college football. He'll be 26 a month into next season. Is it Chow? Is that his name I'm thinking of? What do you think of the quarterbacks overall?
Yeah, it's an interesting class because while I don't think a lot of these guys have like high-end traits outside of Cam Ward, so I'm high on him. I think he's QB1. But they've played a ton of football. I mean, Tyler Shuck, the Louisville quarterback, is who you're getting at there, yep. 25-year-old. Guys played forever, just kept getting hurt. Dylan Gabriel from Oregon set the college football record with 63 starts in his career. The guy's played more football than anyone else in college football history. Shedeur started for 4 years. Cam Ward started for 5 years. Jackson Dart started for 4 years. These guys have played a ton. So I think it's this class, there may not be a lot of first-rounders. I have only one first-round grade. But there's a lot of guys that if you draft in the second or third, they could probably start day one for you because they've played that much football and it wouldn't be that big a learning curve. Similar to always, I mean, there's a reason why Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix looked far more ready as a rookie than Caleb Williams. You know, when you've played as much ball as they have with at different stops and in different offenses, it just helps with your adjustment period to the NFL. So I think you'll see guys who are second and third round picks become rookie starters in this year's class. Now, will they become studs? I don't think so. I think, again, really the reason why I'm saying it's such an average class is because there are just such average tools in this class in terms of just like arm talent, in terms of physical capability. But it wouldn't surprise me if you end up seeing a few of these guys become starters, at least on their rookie contracts, just because they could be like, you know, Andy Dalton-esque, Derek Carr-esque, where they're not great, but they're serviceable because it's just these guys have been through the ringer themselves.
I feel like one of the maybe the most divisive might be too strong, but, you know, there's a variety of opinions I'm already seeing early in the process here, Mike, about Jalen Milroe of Alabama. I read one piece today talking about how there's Jalen Hurts-esque traits there, including flaws in, you know, his passing game process, but, you know, maybe you can teach him. It sounds a little like a smaller version of Anthony Richardson maybe to some people. How do you feel about the Alabama quarterback?
I am not of the camp that I would play him at quarterback, truthfully. I think he's so dynamic as an athlete that I think he's leaving money on the table by not playing a different position. Now, obviously, he's got a strong arm. He is like a tier one runner at the position once he gets to the NFL, and that has a lot of value. It impacts games, as you obviously know in Buffalo, as you know, by playing the Ravens. Like, it stinks to play a quarterback who's that dynamic as a runner. It just, you can lose and he cannot do anything with his arm. And it's just, there's nothing you can do to stop guys like that sometimes. But he's so inaccurate. I watch his tape and I'm just like, if he did not run a 4.3, you would not even know his name. The guy wouldn't be starting college football. He's just so behind the eight ball developmentally. And he has tiny hands, which I think still matters in terms of just your ability to be accurate. If you have really small hands that can't consistently grip the ball 8 3/4 inches, smaller than anyone else starting the NFL right now, and he already flutters a ton of footballs, it's like, I don't think that's ever going to change unless he wants to wear gloves. So I'm not eyeing him. Someone will probably take him day two, but I don't, like, Jalen Hurts coming out had big hands. He was accurate.
Right.
You at least knew that. That's a good starting point for a guy who could run the way he could. I don't see the starting point for Milroe, unfortunately.
Real quick before you go, I forgot what we were talking about, corners. I wanted to mention safety because that could be, I think, a sneaky need for the Bills. I mean, they've got guys that I think they can count on to start, including Cole Bishop, who was a second-round pick last year. I was kind of disappointed he didn't get, you know, he didn't get on the field, didn't earn a spot earlier this past season. But I would think that he's penciled in at one of those spots, and Taylor Rapp is returning. But Malachi Starks, I think, is interesting. And the giant from South Carolina, Emin Wurie, is very intriguing to me. Just quick thoughts on both guys before we let you go.
Yeah, I love adding a safety to that defense, especially in this class where Starks, Emin Wurie, and then I'd also throw Kevin Winston from Penn State are all guys that play the run really well from a deep alignment. Like, you see them fill from depth and get to ball carriers in a hurry, whether it's like quarterbacks pulling the ball on option runs and leaking out the back door or just running backs bouncing it out. those guys close to ball, they're all high-end athletes that tackle well in space, which to me is just something that the Bills, they need. I watched DeMar Hamlin's tape, and it's like, nothing against him. He does not have that ability to really come downhill and be an enforcer in the running game to clean up stuff like that. And I think that it would go a long way to what they want to do. They want to play too high. They want to keep those safeties back. They want to put caps on opposing offenses. But right now, I just don't think they have the guys that can play the run well enough to do so. So I've mocked them in Man Worry because of that, because I think it'd be just a nice fit with what they want, and because I just don't think they have it at that position. So Man Worry is uniquely the dude in that regard, because he's 227 pounds. He is a massive safety. Yeah. And I think you'll see at the combine, he's going to be pretty freakish there.
He's like maybe bigger than the Bills linebackers almost.
I think
Bernard's pretty undersized, but still. What do you think of Cole Bishop real quick?
I liked him coming out, and I was a little surprised he didn't play. Same camp as you.
Yeah.
But safety transition from college to the NFL, it is a position where you can't make mistakes. So a lot of times people will slow walk safeties into the league just because if you don't have the defense down pat, you're a liability back there. We saw some rookie safeties, Kalen Book, most notably in Houston. Like, he made some great plays in the football. He gave up some awful big plays on that defense just because it's a tough position. So I don't think I would be writing him off anytime soon. I still think he was a guy that, I mean, a lot of things I'm saying that, you know, coming up and filling in the run game, he was able to do at Utah in a way that Bill safety didn't do last year.
Mike, thanks a lot for the time. We especially appreciate you burning like a half an hour, a happy hour on a Friday with us, man. So good stuff as always, and we look forward to our next visit.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me.
Mike Renner, CBS Sports NFL and draft analyst here. Find him at Mike Renner. You get it? It's just his name on the Twitter/X machine. There you go. All right, let's hit up a timeout. We'll get the bottom of the hour update here, and I don't know, maybe more on Four Nations Faceoff, the way forward for the Sabres. Maybe I'll focus on that specifically as we get back going, but if you got anything on Four Nations, feel free. The door's open on football, too, after our conversation with Mike, if you want to dig in on that. But been a lot of hockey, and rightly so, with the success of the Four Nations Faceoff. Those ratings numbers are preposterously large for ESPN. If you haven't heard, over 9 million people watched. I thought 4.4 million on Saturday was really big. Man, I mean, they doubled it. So hats off, NHL. Great job on that, drawing people in to that tournament. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is on vacation. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.